Good morning, everyone. Hi, Linda. Right on time. Let's open with a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you that we can meet. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for every one of the 66 books in the Bible, and wherever we are, it always seems like the best one. And here we are in the book of Psalms again this morning with more chapters than any other book, and another beautiful one today to ponder over and to inhale and to absorb and to digest. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Psalm 135 today, and this is all about something that you and I need no reminders of, and yet we do need reminders of it. How many of you have praised the Lord so far today? Don't hold up your hands outside, just inside. How many of you have blessed the Lord today? Well, if you haven't, listen up. This psalm is all about praising and blessing the Lord. Praising and blessing the Lord. And we just, as we start to look at what he has done throughout history and forevermore, and we think what he's done in our lives, how can we go 1 hour without praising him? And yet we seem to be able to go many hours without praising him or without blessing him. So we have a psalm, as I mentioned, about praising and blessing. It begins and ends with the same word, hallelujah, praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord, if you like King James better. And in the first four verses, we have praise given to us five times. In the last three verses, we have the word bless five times. So may you praise and may you bless the Lord this morning. And let's just begin with this old classic hymn by Joachim Neander, who was recently on the scene, born in 1650. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. So let's sing along here, if we may. Looking at the first four verses, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our people, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel, for his special or peculiar treasure. So as we look at these opening four verses, as I mentioned, there's five times we see the word praise. Just such an awesome opportunity and honor to be able to praise him. And first thing here is praise the name of the Lord. Praise his name. We'll talk about that in just a couple of lines here. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. Now, this is for the leaders. This is for the priesthood, the leaders of the church. They're the ones basically serving the Lord here in this context, I think. We'll get to us in just a minute. Praise the Lord, O you servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord. So the priesthood was to stand. And I'm standing. But you're higher than I am because you're seated. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Now we're getting to the people. The people are in the courts of the house of God. So it's the leaders, it's the people. Praise the Lord. Why? For the Lord is good. You know, if we wrote down all the things that the Lord has done good for us, it would be quite a list, wouldn't it? His goodness, his grace. Just think of his grace. Oh, my. Sing praises to his name. And what is his name? Well, we have all these names in the Old Testament, which are all beautiful. But when Mary and became pregnant and the message went out, his name shall be Jesus. That is, Jehovah is salvation. So I think that's the one name. Yahweh is Almighty God, no question about it. But as far as the name that really encapsulates it for us mainly, I think, is the name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Yes, he is whatever we need. No question about it, the I am that I am. But sing praises to his name. For it is pleasant, in the New King James, Old King James, or some translations, lovely. His name is lovely. Think of that. The name of Jesus is lovely, is pleasant. And then we praise him for what? The Lord has chosen Jacob for himself. Just think about that. He's chosen Jacob. Now remember when Jacob was fleeing his brother, he just happened to go asleep at the foot of the ladder that goes to heaven, right? And then he got moved. And so he made quite a deal with God. He says, okay, you go before me, you take care of me, you feed me, you shelter me, you take care of me with safety and everything else. And if you get me back here, I'll give you 10%. What a deal, right? Well, God chose him. What a choice. So that shows me even more that he chose me. So you think about grace for Jacob. What about for me? For God has chosen Jacob for himself. He has chosen you for himself. You are so valuable to him, so important to him. He tells us in his word that your salvation, your soul is worth more than all the wealth in the world. Take that, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and all the other guys. And pray for them. Think of the burden they have, of the blockage that they have for salvation. And I'm not saying who's saved and who's not, I don't know. But when you've got so much money, my oh my, it's not that you've got it, it's got you, right? That's the problem. It's got you. He has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. And we're his special treasure also, we're told in 1 Peter. I believe it's 1 Peter. For his special treasure. Now, we're going to move on for these next verses to his power and his glory and his blessing. So, verse 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great." Do you know that? Do you really know how great the Lord is? That's another long list, right? Is he the master passion in your life? And you might say, of course he is. Why would you ask me that? Well, I would bet you've spent more time doing more things this last week than praising and praying to the Lord, doing other things that you were pursuing. So, where is my heart? Where is my heart? Our Lord is above all gods. Little g on that one. We are created to worship, and we will worship something. Everybody worships something. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Keep that in mind. Lord, you got to do this. Lord, you got to do that. Lord, you got to heal me. Yeah, I don't know that he's got to do anything you ask. If it's according to his will, that's good. But he does what he pleases because he knows best. We don't know what's best. We can't see 1 second ahead of us. Lord, I want to guide my own ship. Oh, really? Well, it'd be kind of nice if you had something, a windshield that was clear rather than a blockage. So, and where does he do whatever he wants? In heaven, in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. That's pretty much it, isn't it? Now, verse 7 is a tremendous verse. It has the whole hydro cycle in one verse here. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and we still haven't figured that out. What does a lightning do? We do know that, of course, over the face of the earth, most of it's the ocean, and the waters evaporate, and gas, and then these gas molecules that somehow fasten on to each other and form a drop of water, maybe through lightning, I don't know, through the charges and all that. And then as that water droplet forms and gets heavy enough, then it falls. And that's a total miracle. If it's not heavy enough, it's not going to fall. If it's too heavy, it'll strip all the leaves off the trees and everything else. So it's just the right amount. And I think I may have mentioned it before, but the figure is so big, it's just beyond. Do you know how much every day on the face of the earth rainfall is amounted to? 1.5 trillion tons of water. Now, if you want to lift up in buckets for a while, 1.5 trillion tons of water is estimated to fall every day on the face of this earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. How does he get the evaporated water from the ocean over the land? He puts it into clouds and he blows the clouds over the land, doesn't he? Just so amazing. So just right there, that hydro cycle is something that we just stand in total awe. We take it for granted. We take it for granted the sun is going to come up, and it did come up, or it is coming up. But yes. Now we get into his mercy in verse 8. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. Not all of them, just the firstborn, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders. Remember the signs and wonders given to Pharaoh to let my people go, and he wouldn't until the firstborn was taken. But they also, when the angel of death came, remember he put the blood on the doorpost. Could you see it from the inside? I don't think so. Because it didn't matter whether man saw it. It mattered whether God saw it when he came by, whether the angel saw it when he came by. So here, I can imagine that night when the screams and wailing were going on as the angel of death came through, the kids would be scared to death inside their house, and their father, or maybe mother, would say, "Don't worry, we have the blood on the doorpost as we were instructed. God will protect us." And he did. How he protects you, how he protects me. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, on Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations. He slew mighty kings, Sihon, the king of Amorites, Og, the king of Bashan. How long was Bashan's bed? Does anybody know? 13 feet. Really? I think that's a good conclusion. If you have a 13-foot long bed, he probably is 12 feet tall. Og, king of Bashan. Sihon was thought to be the mightiest army on the face of the earth. It had 60 cities up there. So what did God do? He brings Og and Sihon both, really, in the same, in two different separate battles. He brings them to the edge of his country to meet the Israelites. So he comes out of all of their supported cities, and now they're right there, and so God wipes them all out. Oh, they're... the strength of the military is really good until the Lord comes along. King of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings. I think it's 13 feet. I may have that wrong. He was said 9 feet. Anyway, he's a tall dude, and he's much taller than... They had a picture of one mummy they found in a box, and it was held up in front of a rail boxcar on end, and it stood above the boxcar, so it was 12 feet tall. So there were some giants who were that big. So if you've got a king 12 feet tall, I don't know. I was thinking you'd have to have a bring the king down strategy, right? You get one guy to cut the Achilles tendon. You get another guy to strike him so he has to bend down so he can get to his head. How are you going to take his head off? Of course, Goliath fell down, didn't he? Enough of that. But he slew these mighty kings. He gave their land as a heritage and inheritance to Israel, his people. Now we have a couple of verses here on glorying in worship. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Amen. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people and will have compassion on his servants. I wrote in there, as they repent. Verse 15. Now this is the world. The idols of the nations are silver and gold. Amazing how out of touch the Bible is with reality. Right? Nobody thinks about money today, do they? I don't think. The idols of the nation are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. Now, here's back to reminds us of Isaiah, Jeremiah as well. They have mouths they do not speak, eyes they have but they do not see, ears they have but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouth. So what can you really take away from a non-believer? Nothing, because they're worshiping a God who doesn't speak, who doesn't hear, who doesn't have any breath. We're talking really about the spiritual realm now primarily, but that's the truth, isn't it? Because we become like what we worship. And most people that don't believe in the one God create their own God, which is always less than them, and then they're worshiping something that's less than them. So what is the result in their life? It's a declining life. Whereas the glorious miracle for the believer is worshiping the great God, his life, their life, her life gets better and better and better. And we can see that in our lives. I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about spiritually. So we get closer to that day. Those who make them are like them. There it is. So is everyone who trusts in them. And then he closes with the blessings. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? Are you blessing the Lord? This is for us. Bless the Lord, you who fear the Lord. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Father, we do say amen. We do thank you for this wonderful reminder of praising you and blessing you. Help us in keeping our minds where they should be and off of the stuff that they need not be on. Lord, we want to pray this morning as you have given us understanding of your word, as you've given us the good news, as you've given us the only source of hope, the only source of peace, the only source of goodness, the only source of eternity with you. And so help us to pray as the Spirit would lead us in one accord, in Jesus' name. This verse kept coming to my mind as we were praying this morning to bless him, to praise his name, and thinking of the pain, the persecution. But as the familiar verses in Hebrews 12 tells us, verse 2, in the race of faith, where of course we run with endurance the race that is set before us, and then it says what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think of that. We complain about the most inconsequential things in the world. I've got a hangnail, or I've got a blister on my foot or something. Oh, I'm in such pain. I'm going through so much suffering. Or whatever. But he endured the cross, despising the shame. And thinking of those 6 hours he was on that cross, of all of the evil forces in the universe coming against him, giving himself for my sin alone, just for my sin, let alone for yours. Billions of people, past, present, and future, think of what he went through. You think he doesn't know what you're going through? Do you think he wants you just to have a calm, peaceful life with never any pain or never any difficulties at all? He loves you too much for that. Because if you did that, you'd never change. But he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And spiritually, we're with him. Did you know that? Because of what he's done for us. We haven't gotten there physically yet, but we're with him. Through the power of his resurrection, ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. What a picture. Well, let's just close in this familiar. There's 10,000 reasons, it says here. Let's see how many you can count.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
Bless the Lord, my my strength is failed. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
Father, we thank you for the beautiful reminder this morning of praising you and blessing you. Help us to have that in our hearts all the time. Thank you for meeting us here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.